What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Looks like we got our new bumpers put in there. It's Thursday, April 14th, 2011. And looks like we're getting all of our technical issues squared out over there at RBN, which is kind of good because it makes for a lot more fun and pleasant experience for all of us involved here. Obviously, as our new intro there indicates, the top story continues to be the situation over at Fukushima. And it's just getting worse, and Russia is now saying that, you know, forget about Chernobyl. This is Chernobyl on steroids, and we're beginning to see a very, very alarming pattern. And it is simply this. TEPCO is admitting officially now what the independent observers and bloggers and what really happened were all saying was going on 2-3 weeks ago. And what we're seeing here is the classic case of perception management. They're not going to tell you up front how bad everything is, because remember, everything that has happened to those reactors happened within 24 hours of the failure of the battery power and the inability of the generators to operate because they were underneath the water. It all happened. Everything that happened was all done in that first 24 hours. And instead of saying after 24 hours, oh, it's a major Chernobyl-scale disaster, they've been letting it out a little bit at a time in the hope that nobody will get really upset. You know, that's like when E.J. Smith runs that cruise liner, the Titanic, into the iceberg. They don't tell everybody, you know, a third of you are going to die. They say, oh, no, it's okay. It's only a precaution we're getting into the light. Yeah, it's nothing to worry about, you know. And it's all about saving face and saving insurance exposure and so forth and so on. Here's the latest from TEPCO and the officialdom here. They are now admitting, TEPCO is now admitting that the groundwater around the nuclear plant is highly radioactive. They're now admitting what we were telling you here 2 weeks ago was going to happen. All the water poured into those reactors to try and cool them down has percolated down into the soil. The foundations of the buildings are cracked. They're 40 years old. The rebar in them has swelled from corrosion. It's right next to the ocean. Those dry wells are all cracked. The water that they've been pouring into the reactors is seeping into the ground and from there outward into farmlands and out into the ocean. They're now admitting it. 2 weeks ago when we were telling you that was going to be a problem, we were getting all the naysayers coming and saying, no, you're fear-mongering. Don't do that. Don't say these things. It's under control. Really, everything is stable. Everything is absolutely stable. You know, and again, going back, the Titanic was perfectly stable right up to the moment it actually sank beneath the water. The top part was still upward. That's still stable. Hindenburg was stable right up to about 5 seconds before the fire started. You have to bear with me. I'm still coughing and dealing with the tail end of this bug and everything. And it's a cold. It's a spring cold or a summer cold. It's not dengue and it's not radiation. And I know it's not radiation. I'm wearing my little dosimeter here as a fashion accessory. And I can hold my popcorn in my hand and it doesn't pop all by itself, so I know it's not radiation sickness or anything like that. So anyway, we're getting back to the situation at TEPCO. And they're slowly letting out the bad news about how bad things are to try and keep financial panic from coming in. That's what it's all about, protecting the dollar, protecting General Electric, protecting TEPCO, protecting Hitachi, protecting Toshiba. And got to protect all those businesses and all that money because that's really what matters, and that's what's important here. Now, yesterday they finally admitted, and again, this is something we were telling you had likely happened weeks ago. The spent fuel rod pool in reactor number 4 has a leak. They cannot keep water in it. The reactor rods have partially collapsed to the bottom, and fission is taking place open air. We were telling you that this is what the signs indicated a couple of weeks ago. TEPCO is now officially admitting it. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system, and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663.
Welcome back to the show. I'm getting some emails about my popcorn joke, you know, and I guess people are thinking we need to start our own variation of Jeff Foxworthy's kind of humor here. You know, you might be a redneck, only in this case is you might be irradiated. You know, if you can hold your popcorn in your hand and have it pop, you might be irradiated. If you can watch HBO and you don't even own a television set, you might be irradiated. If you can get around your home in the dark and you don't own a nightlight, you might be irradiated. So if you come up with some more ideas like that, just send them all in and we'll make them up on a page here. We're trying to create a big resource of things you can do to reduce exposure to contamination. Obviously, reducing your exposure to direct radiation is kind of a moot point, given the news that we're getting here. But the real key to surviving this crisis is to avoid contamination. We're putting together a page of things like, if you go to the store and you get a cabbage or a lettuce, remove and discard the outer leaves. And then the inside will still be safe. Vegetables that you can peel, like potatoes, cucumbers, carrots, that kind of stuff, you know, is going to be safer to eat than like broccoli, which just gets rained on and there's really no way to clean that off here. And so forth and so on. But we're working on a master resource for that whole situation. So anyway, we're back to the situation where TEPCO is now admitting that things really are kind of pretty much as bad as outside independent observers, like what really happened, have been saying all along. So we were right, and all of the people out to protect General Electric, you know, are very, very wrong. Here in Hawaii, the isotope content of milk is hundreds of percent above, you know, 8, 10 times, 20 times above the safety limits for water. So we're having to be very, very careful about our local dairy product. And it all comes down to the fact that it goes up in the air, it rains down on the cows and the cow pastures and the gardens, and from there it gets into the human food system. It's really very pernicious and very, very dangerous. And everybody's trying to say, ah, it's okay, radiation's good for you, it won't hurt you. We're, you know, and again, remember the priorities we saw in the government with the foreclosure crisis, when they said we can take care of the people or we can take care of the banks. What did they do? They took care of the banks. Now we're in a similar situation. We can take care of the people or we can take care of General Electric and the nuclear power industry. Guess which one they're doing here. Meanwhile, just before we went to air, we got the latest report. This is going around the world with shock. Japan is seriously considering relocating their national capital from Tokyo to either Osaka or Nagoya. Now, this would be the equivalent of moving our nation's capital from Washington, D.C. to Chicago because of concern over the radiation pouring down from Fukushima and apparently also this second hotspot over at Ikigari. Now, South Korea, China, and Taiwan are banning food imports from Japan out of concerns for radiation. And yet here in the United States, we're still hearing this thing. It's not, it's really, it's not harmless. It's, you know, it's not worth worrying about. We've got to go out and make war on those gosh darn Muslims. And we can't waste any time on silly little things like reactor meltdowns here. Now, TEPCO has finally decided that maybe it would be a good idea to relocate those emergency generators up on top of a hill at Fukushima, because most seismologists are looking at this pattern of aftershocks and saying there's probably a couple more really big ones yet to come, able to generate more tsunamis. So, you know, we need to do now what we should have done before. And remember, it all goes back to that failure to spend the money to be safe, because had those emergency diesel generators been put up on a high hill, they would not have been knocked out by the tsunami. The emergency cooling would have stayed on. These reactors would not have melted down. Remember, when you deal with a major catastrophe like this, it's no one thing causes it. There's an initiating event that is complicated by a cascade of supportive events, systems that should be there that fail, reactors that don't shut down after the quake when they're supposed to. We still don't know why that didn't happen. Generators that fail because they got flooded, because the seawall wasn't as high as tsunami predictions said it should be, because the generators weren't up on a hill to keep them extra safe. Somewhere along the line, a money junkie decided not to sign the checks to move, to put the generators on a hill, to build the seawall higher, because we got to keep the stockholders happy. It's all about money junkie symptomology here. It's exactly what leads to this thing. So they're finally doing what they should have done initially. They're moving the generators to the top of a hill, and yeah, there are going to be more aftershocks. And every time there's an aftershock, we're seeing more radiation surges, not just from Fukushima, but from around the area of Ikigari. And they're still not talking about it very much, but we have these two facilities there that we are researching, and we are continuing to find out that there are problems with these. One is, of course, the Tokai nuclear power station itself, Japan's first. It's their first power station, had two reactors. One has been shut down and decommissioned, is not an issue. The second one was nearing the end of its lifespan, has reportedly two primary cooling systems, one of which was reported to have failed on the night of the big earthquake, and that's the last word we heard from that area. Now, the second facility that nobody is talking about, and it's very close to the Tokai nuclear power station, there is a nuclear fuel processing plant. And it has a prior history of problems, including, before Fukushima, the site of Japan's worst civilian nuclear accident was this nuclear fuel processing plant, you know, where they're basically refining these materials and producing fuel rods and things like that. And it's owned by JCO, and it's just, you know, this large facility that just cranks out nuclear fuel rods for all of the reactors in Japan. And that these two facilities, one of these two, possibly both, seem to be the source of this second radiation hotspot in Japan that nobody wants to talk about. We are now hearing from General Electric and Toshiba and Hitachi. Remember, General Electric designed all six of those reactors. Toshiba and Hitachi built some of them, and General Electric built the rest themselves from their own blueprints. They are now saying it will take a minimum of 10 years to completely shut down, defuel, and decommission and clean up Fukushima. 10 years to deal with this mess. And every day of every one of those weeks, of every one of those months, of every one of those years, Fukushima will continue to pour radioactive contamination into the ocean, into the air, into the soil. We're stuck with this one because somebody didn't want to like spend the extra few yen to put those generators on a high hill. Now, I want to point out that we are seeing still, to this very moment, efforts by all of the involved business entities to save themselves, to preserve their future sales. We have the president of Toshiba that built one of the reactors coming out with this ludicrous comment that nuclear power remains the major option against global warming. I mean, obviously, bovine excrement is not something that is confined to the United States of America. This is a big, huge, steaming pile. First of all, we're in our just coming out of our third harsh winter in a row. The whole idea of human-caused global warming has been pretty much discredited. There's new research out that shows that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere actually cools the temperature, not makes it warmer. When you factor in all the different behaviors and factors, it actually cools the planet. And yet, he's still going to wave, this president of Toshiba is still going to wave around global warming as a desperate grasp to continue selling more of these nuclear reactors. It'll say, you know, or maybe his plan is by destroying all human life with radiation, we will save the Earth from the scourge of human-caused global warming. But I mention this to underscore the fact that all of the businesses, all of the corporations involved in this fiasco, this disaster, this meltdown, multi-meltdown, Chernobyl on steroids, they're still thinking with their wallets. They're still thinking, they're seeing the world through dollar signs and stock options. They're not thinking the reality of major environmental disaster and a lot of people's lives destroyed. Future epidemic of birth defects. They're still thinking how to keep their profits up, how to survive this whole situation here. Over at MSNBC, which we know is owned by General Electric that designed all those reactors, they're running these puff pieces about, oh, lots of Americans live near nuclear power plants and they've never had a problem. They think it's wonderful to live next to the nuclear power plant. And it's clean and it's inexpensive and it's, you know, environmentally friendly. Well, obviously, all three of those propositions are now completely laid waste by what's going on here. The entire Pacific Ocean has toxified. The Northern Hemisphere's atmosphere is full of radioactive isotopes. By the time the Japanese people are forced to pay for this cleanup, the economics of nuclear power are going to be completely different. But they're still out there. They're still trying to promote the business entity. And now there is a huge new hoax being perpetrated on the alternative media and the corporate media, and that is they're trying to claim that the Japanese nuclear disaster wasn't caused by the reactors or anything like that, but a secret underground nuclear weapons plant. Insert ominous music here. And this is the measure of the desperation of the nuclear industry and General Electric and MSNBC to try and save their dollars, their profit margins. They're going to concoct a hoax so that you won't feel sorry for the Japanese and you won't blame the reactor design or the nuclear power industry as a whole because there's a secret underground nuclear power station. And it's absurd. And I'll explain why. I think we're coming up on a commercial break here. I'm not really sure. I think we've got another minute here. Another 30 seconds here. Okay, thank you very much. The reason that this is absurd is very simple. For the same reason we know Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapons factory. Japan has signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and all of their facilities are under the inspection and control of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Japan cannot build a secret nuclear weapons lab even if they wanted to, and their constitution prohibits it. It's just more propaganda to try and save General Electric's stock price. Do not fall for it. We'll be right back.
you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores, but you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And by the way, Manny is in our control room and twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We are getting more and more indications from the Department of Defense, or the Department of Let's Go Around the World Killing People That We Don't Like, that they are, in fact, preparing a ground invasion into Libya. Remember, 2 weeks ago, Obama said, no, there won't be any ground war. Well, it's already there. And we told you at the time, he was lying to you, because the Marine Expeditionary Force was already off the coast on those landing ships. And you don't put those guys out in the middle of the ocean just for giggles and grins. So, cruise missiles, bombs, CIA on the ground, troops on the ground, yeah, it's another war. I don't care what Obama and the Department of Defense want to call it, it is, in fact, another war. We're going to have to deal with that. Obama lied to you again. Now, speaking of lies, and this is a good one. This is a good one. Remember that whole budget deal they were talking about, the government's going to shut down, and we were all saying, yes, shut it down. Work out great for us like Belgium. And I guess the government decided, oh, we can't shut down. The American people might actually find out life is going to be better that way. They might like it. Yeah, we would. Absolutely. So they made a big dog and pony show, and they said, we're going to cut $38 billion out of the budget. Well, it turns out that was just more dog and pony show, because analysts going through the budget are realizing that most of what they claim to be cutting out was money that wasn't planned on being spent anyway. Basically, they went through and they said, oh, these people want a budget increase. We weren't going to give it to them anyway, but we'll take that out and say that's part of the budget cut. They were already going to cut social spending anyway, even before this big brouhaha over the government shutdown. It's an election year grandstand is what it is. We're going to see a lot of those now. So it turns out that, you know, and first of all, $38 billion in cuts. It sounds like a lot of money to you and I. But to the government, it's about 1% of the total operating budget of the government for 1 year. 1%. But when analysts went through and actually looked at the real fiscal impact of all these cuts that they made such a big thing about in the media, what they found out is that the actual savings to the government comes out to only $353 million. And the rest of that, $37.5 billion, was all bookkeeping tricks, money that really wasn't going to be spent or was overspent and going to be rebated anyway. So it's just a big, huge illusion and a big show to convince you that the government really is listening to the American people saying, please cut spending. Except, of course, the government is listening, because what the American people are saying is, cut spending on wars, cut spending on weapons, cut spending on Israel, cut spending on these bozos at the airport with the sexually transmitted diseases fondling our, you know, eight-year-old boys and six-year-old girls now. It's not just cut anywhere, and certainly not cut the social services that we rely on the government to provide for us. It's cut the stuff that we, the American people, don't support, like running around the world murdering the brown people that Israel doesn't like. We don't support that. The Israeli firsters do, but they only amount to 2% of the population. Ordinary Americans, especially those with family members in the war zones catching the bullets and shrapnel, do not want these wars to go on. We don't want any more wars. We have a real disaster on our hands. An incident that threatens the health and welfare of the entire nation. Far more than 1,000 Osama bin Ladens could do, even if he was still alive. And our government wants to pretend it's not a problem. Just like last summer, they pretended the Gulf oil spill wasn't a problem, because they're so busy following Israel's orders to go out and kill those gosh darn Ikipu Muslims. We've got to go kill Muslims. We don't have time to deal with radioactive fallout from melted reactors. You guys are just worrying about the wrong thing. We'll tell you what you should care about. You should care about gays in the military and killing those gosh darn Muslims, because they're a threat to the world, even though Iran hasn't actually invaded anybody yet. Now, speaking of grandstanding here, apparently Nancy Kaptur has introduced a new bill in the House of Representatives, 1489, which re-implements the Glass-Steagall Act. Now, just to recap on that, in the wake of the devastation of the second greatest depression back in 1929, there was a bill passed, Glass-Steagall, which specifically forbade banks and investment houses from getting into each other's business. Because that was what had led to a lot of reckless speculation that led to the great crash of 1929, the second greatest crash of 1929. So back in 1999, our Congress, full of bribe money and not much common sense, repealed Glass-Steagall, saying we don't need to regulate Wall Street. They're wiser, they're older, they're more mature. And immediately, of course, Wall Street went on this gambling binge of mortgage-backed derivatives, which were fraudulent, and the credit default swaps, which were the real payoff on the spread table. And they're out there rolling the dice saying, you know, Daddy needs a new gold watch, boom. And they're out there making tons of money, and when it all falls apart, they drop the losses on the American people. History repeats, which is what's wrong with history. So now Kaptur wants to reintroduce Glass-Steagall, and it sounds good. We know it needs to be there, but let us learn from history. You know, they're closing the barn door after the horses have escaped. I mean, this is on the same level as moving the generators up on the hill at Fukushima after the tsunami's already resulted in meltdowns. It's done to look good, but it's not going to accomplish anything. And when we come back, I want to elaborate on exactly why this new Glass-Steagall isn't going to save the nation or the economy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus. Rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about the reintroduction of Glass-Steagall into Congress. And it sounds good. And obviously, during the run-up to the 2012 election season, I'm sure Kaptur is going to be using this for her own campaign and that of her friends and her party and everything like this. But what's the point? It's just an election year campaign display, because we know from past history that the problem in our country isn't the laws. We have laws. We have too many laws, to be very honest. It's a question of enforcement. And any time the money junkies in Wall Street decide that they want to break the rules, they will go on and they'll bribe Congress to change the rules. Goldman Sachs is already up there on Capitol Hill right now lobbying Congress to change the law so that they won't be prosecuted for what, you know, they've already done. All the congressional investigations have shown all the crimes that Wall Street committed in this mortgage-backed security fraud. And then we get this, you know, million-word article out of the New York Times about why, even though we know all these banks did all these bad things, it really, it's just an incredibly complex process to try and actually prosecute and jail any of these people. In other words, we're going to let them get away with it. So Glass-Steagall was passed in the wake of the crash of 29 and the resulting depression. And then back in 1999, it was repealed by the Gramm-Leach-Biley Act, which passed with 95% of the Congress in support of it. And that 95% of the Congress, we may presume, were themselves personally invested with all these Wall Street firms that proceeded to get insanely rich off of these little speculation, real estate games, leveraged credit default swaps, derivatives, and the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. Remember, that whole fraudulent mortgage-backed security had to be front-loaded with fresh mortgages. That was the fodder for this whole disaster. And Congress helped them do it by passing that $8,000 first-time homebuyer credit to lure more people into that mortgage creation machine. The mortgages weren't the bubble. The mortgage-backed securities were the bubble. And the people who got in and out first were insanely rich, and everybody else got to pay the bills on it. And that's exactly what we're doing here. So it doesn't matter if H.R. 1489 passes. If it does, everybody will say, see, we've protected our phony baloney jobs and convinced the American people we're looking out for them one more time. And 10, 20 years down the road, if there's still a United States of America, which I doubt, and Wall Street says, you know, we're not making enough money, and the latest hippest watch is $300,000, and I got to have that on my wrist or I'm just not going to feel, you know, manly or anything like that. And they'll go to Congress and they'll say, you got to loosen the chain so that we can have a little more fun again. We've served enough penance for our last indiscretions. We sinned before and we have served, you know, we're really much better now. And Congress will cave in because there'll be lots of checks into campaign funds. And we'll start the process all over again. We have been down this road so many times before. The fact that they want to reimpose Glass-Steagall on Wall Street, you know, it's after the problem's already done. It's like NASA saying, oh, maybe we should have bought those extra O-rings, you know, as the remains of Challenger come falling down. And again, it's like the Gulf oil disaster. Obama comes out and says, well, we need new regulation. We had regulations. They weren't being enforced. Minerals Management Service was sitting in their office watching online porn and letting the oil companies fill out their own safety reports and inventories. Same thing with the Wall Street meltdown. There were regulations in place to prevent this stuff from happening, especially all these Ponzi schemes that we saw from, like, Bernie Madoff with the loot. 12 years he did it. There were laws against what he was doing. SEC couldn't be bothered. He's a friend. He's a bud. He talks to all of our bosses. We can't investigate him. We don't need more laws. We got too many laws as it is. What we need are for the laws that make sense to be enforced, and they aren't. Wall Street's given a complete get-out-of-jail-free card, but by golly, if you're a six-year-old little girl and your parents mouth off to the TSA, you're going to get mauled by those gorillas in the rubber gloves at the airport. It's a completely out-of-skewed this whole country is. And it's amazing. The government has admitted the mortgage-backed security fraud is what destroyed the economy of the United States of America and made millions and millions of Americans homeless. Took your jobs, took 23% of your net worth over the last 5 years, took your homes, took your future, took your children's future. The government's admitting this is what happened. But we just can't figure out a way to work through the legal system to actually throw any of these people in jail. If that does not prove to you that we're living in a fascist economic dictatorship, then frankly, you are terminally clueless, and I feel sorry for you. Meanwhile, as a sign of the growing global pyramid structure of the world's economy, the world's banks are now facing a $3.6 trillion wall of maturing debt. Very colorful phrase here. What it basically means is, as things started to crash in the wake of the mortgage-backed security fraud, banks borrowed to cover whatever shortfall they could not cover by confiscating homes through foreclosures. And now those loans are coming due, and they're desperate to find somebody else with a credit card to borrow more money to cover those debts. They're trying to basically kite the debt along because their bank of last resort, the people of the world, we're tapped out. We're already broke. They have taken from us everything of any real value. We're looted out. We're completely emptied out. We're looted out. There's nothing left to tax. And the whole structure is starting to come down. And most of the money junkies are in denial and withdrawal, I might add. And they're trying to find somebody else that will print up more paper money that they can pour onto the top of the system to try and make it look like it's still there. But all pyramids, architectural or financial, stand or fall on the strength of that bottom layer. And that bottom layer in economy is the working, manufacturing, fabricating, actual make a product for sale population. And when you turn your back on them, when you take away the manufacturing, when you take away the jobs to make it easier for the banks to take their homes to cover their losses, then you start that process of collapsing the pyramid. And what we're seeing here is the cracks from the collapse are reaching higher and higher. And as it gets into each higher level of the economic pyramid, everybody is there, they're caught by surprise. What's going on? You know, it's always worked before. You know, what has God wrought? It's God wants us to be, no. You did it to yourselves, guys. The instant you sold your soul and your population to a private central bank issuing the public currency at interest, your doom was sealed. And the idea that you could evade that doom by dropping all the problems onto your people, those days are gone, because people around the world, like Iceland, are waking up and realizing, hey, we did not make this mess. And there is no way that you can force us to pay for the mess that the bankers made for themselves. So, meanwhile, our government is trying to save itself by raising the debt ceiling again and cranking up more quantitative easing. In other words, they're borrowing more from the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is providing that money simply by printing it up. I mean, it's a complete scam. You know, the Federal Reserve runs the printing presses. They go over to the Congress, and the Congress says, we've allowed ourselves to borrow more from you. And the Federal Reserve says, here's the money, give me the T-bills. And the T-bills are their license to tax the American people. So Congress, basically, to prolong its rule in Sodom on the Potomac, is selling future generations of America into the slavery to the private bankers. It's like Judge Napolitano the other day was saying, we're all being enslaved to whoever the government owes these trillions of dollars of debt to. But that's true only if you believe that's the way it's supposed to be. It's true only if you believe that you are somehow obligated to cover the losses of private bankers and a government that basically screwed up royally and did it just to put a few more coins in their own pocket. We're going to go to the phones. Danny in California. Aloha, Danny. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. I don't believe that I'm obligated. I don't believe that any of us are obligated or on the hook, because those weren't our devices, financial devices of mass destruction that we created. The only problem is, if we're not on the hook for it, then how do we remedy the situation?
Well, my remedy all along has been to be patient and just understand that the government of the United States of America is on the verge of collapse for pretty much the same reasons the USSR went away. And the important thing is to understand that when the whole mess comes crashing down, you're going to see no end of carpetbaggers coming in and saying, well, you know, you American people, you're still obligated for all the debt of your previous government. And no doubt there'll be a lot of financial and political support for a new government in the United States that will enslave us to their debt. Just as the Icelandic people are realizing that the government they got after they fired the last one has turned around and said, oh, yes, we must pay the money back to the bankers. And the Icelandic people are saying no. So that new government may find itself tossed into a volcano very, very soon. But the bottom line is, there is a recognized principle in international law called odious debt. And that means, for money the government borrows to actually take care of the people, build roads, schools, hospitals, pay teachers, that kind of thing, those are legitimate debts the people should accept and, right, and pay off, legally and morally. But all the trillions of dollars borrowed for war, all the money borrowed to give to Israel, all the trillions borrowed to pour all over Wall Street to save them from the fraudulent mortgage-backed security, we're not on the hook for that. There's no reason we should be on the hook for that.
No, there's no reason at all.
No reason at all. I mean, when the analogy I like to use is a hamburger place. And if you go into a hamburger place and you look on the menu and it says, I will sell you this gorgeous cheeseburger for $5. And you order the cheeseburger, and it's a good cheeseburger, and then the owner of the restaurant says, I'm sorry, I screwed up. This cheeseburger actually costs $7, and you still owe me the additional $2 plus accruing interest. Are you going to pay him? Of course you're not going to pay him. That's stupid. You had a contract with that restaurant, $5 for the burger, and if he can't balance his books on that expectation and promise, then he should go out of business and make way for a better restaurant to come in, you know, with a better business sense. Now, the same thing applies to government. Every politician who runs for election promises you a certain amount of benefits for a certain amount of tax money. And you elect a guy, you pay the taxes, you get your benefits, and then all of a sudden the government comes back to you and says, well, we're sorry, we actually had to borrow a lot of money to pay, you know, for those benefits that we gave you, and you owe us that money, that extra money plus accruing interest. Are you going to pay it? No, of course you're not. You had a contract with the government. So much tax dollars for so many benefits. And the government does not have a right to come back and say, oh, we screwed up and you are automatically on the hook for all the extra money that we decided to spend. Because, I mean, it's just simple business sense. And it's time for this government that has borrowed itself into an unpayable black hole of debt to simply go away and make way for a government with better fiscal sense. One that understands no private central bank, no private central bank, no private central bank. Like we had back in 1776 before the Congress of 1913 and President Woodrow Wilson sold us all out to be slaves.
I totally agree. And last thing I'd like to say is that I hope somehow, some way, kids start learning about the banking system, because they're going to learn about it one way or another, either directly or indirectly.
You have to tell the kids yourself. You parents, you aunts, you uncles, you older brothers and sisters, you have to sit the kids down and say, look, all that stuff they taught you in school, that's there to get you to go along with this scheme and this system here. And you need to show them movies like Money is Debt. You need to show them America from Freedom to Fascism. You need to tell them about the Currency Act as the cause of the American Revolution and why it's not taught in public schools any longer. And you need to, first of all, tell them there are alternative ways to run a national economy. And all of this insistence they get in school that the Federal Reserve is the only way that we can have a banking system in this country is absolute nonsense that serves the bankers. And
yep,
we have to do it. We cannot count on the state schools to teach our kids the truth. The state schools are going to teach the kids what the state wants them to believe.
Yeah, it's not just the adults that need to wake up. Everybody has to wake up. It's not just...
Yeah, but the adults have to take responsibility for informing the next generation that they have been lied to by TV and by their schools.
Agreed.
It's a huge amount of lies. I talk to the kids in the neighborhood, and they're wising up real fast. They understand that the teachers at school are lying to them about political matters.
Good. Good to hear. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. Alrighty, let's see. British banker dies in plunge from Singapore hotel rooftop under suspicious circumstances. Gee, you think? I think we're probably going to see a lot of bankers taking plunges or eating a bullet or sticking their head in gas ovens or things like that. Now, Judge Goldstone, last couple of weeks, has sort of tried to kind of reverse his stance on his authored report for the United Nations regarding Israel's war crimes in Operation Cast Lead. And Goldstone was apparently subjected to a huge amount of pressure, threats, possible bribery even, by Israel's minions, and he changed his mind. And Israel is saying, see, this proves we're innocent, we can go ahead and do it again, rescind the report from the United Nations, blah, blah, blah. And all Israel has succeeded in doing is demonstrating to the eyes of the world that Israel spares no expense to rewrite history to suit themselves. And I underscore that because we need to ask how much of what we think is history over the last 60 years is actually the invention of Israel propagandists and public relations experts. And that is currently underscored by the revelation, which is getting virtually no coverage in the American media, that the prime piece of evidence against John Demjanjuk, his ID card, is a fake, and the FBI has known about it for 25 years and said nothing as this guy got arrested and extradited, sentenced to death, pardoned, arrested again, and he's back in a German courtroom, 90 years old. They won't let the guy alone because Israel can never be seen to be wrong about anything connected with the Holocaust. Because then people might say, well, if they were this wrong about Demjanjuk, where else might they have made some mistakes? Maybe we need to go back and look at the facts for ourselves. You start saying that, and you are definitely an enemy of the Israeli state here. Alrighty, but back to Goldstone. His report, he did not write it all by himself. He was merely the chairman of the group. And there were other authors on this report that basically laid out Israel's war crimes, and they're going public and saying Goldstone had no basis to reverse his conclusions, or theirs. He's essentially overriding their work with his public statement. And they're angry now. And so Goldstone is learning right now that you cannot please everybody. And if you already know that you're not going to please everybody anyway, you might as well go ahead and tell the truth. Because if you lie to please one party, you're going to just annoy everybody else. So you might as well go ahead and tell the truth. He's learned that a little bit too late. Speaking of Israel, and we knew this was going to happen, Egypt is increasing the price of their natural gas sent to Israel. While Hosni Mubarak was in charge of Israel, Egypt was selling Egypt's natural gas to Israel at below market rates, the same deal that United Fruit and PepsiCo were getting from Cuba when Cuba was under Batista. Well, now that Egypt has a new government, Israel has to pay fair market price. And they're crying and they're unhappy. And Jesus, it's not fair. We have to pay what everybody else pays. We'll be right back after these commercials.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Clonic. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're getting more news from Fukushima just to catch up on that. Basically, TEPCO is saying that they're not expecting to be able to stop the flow of radiation from these ruined reactors into the air or ocean for at least 3 years. And I know a lot of people saying, well, just entomb it, cover it over. And again, as I mentioned weeks ago, the problem is the proximity to the Pacific Ocean shoreline. You can put all the stuff all over the top of those reactors you want, but as was confirmed by TEPCO officially now, radioactive debris is percolating down into the soil and out into the ground, all around the reactor area, and most importantly, out into the Pacific Ocean. And I know the propaganda we're getting on the American media is, oh, the seawater will dilute it. Actually, no, it doesn't. Because ocean life tends to absorb these minerals. And we're already detecting radiation in seaweed in Washington State. And sea life that eats the seaweed absorbs the radioactivity as well. We know that game animals all over Europe, when hunters kill a game animal, it must be tested for radioactivity before they can eat it. And that's 25 years after Chernobyl. We know that tobacco plants selectively absorb radioactive polonium from cheap mineral fertilizers, which is why cigarettes give you cancer. So the problem isn't the water and the seawater and the radiation, it's the fish. Because the fish that are off the coast of Fukushima will soon be off the coast of Alaska. And a contaminated fish is just as deadly 15,000 miles from Fukushima as it is 1 mile from Fukushima. So all of this nuclear industry saving propaganda about it's all going to go away, it's basically mimicking what we were hearing down in the Gulf of Mexico last year. Don't worry, it'll all go away eventually. You don't have to worry. And we still have people down there who are sick and dying. Meanwhile, we're getting basically the International Atomic Energy Agency is finishing up their meetings. They're basically saying, well, yeah, it's a horrible disaster, but, you know, really, it's up to the member nations of the NNPT to take care of safety, and it wasn't really our job. We're just basically they're washing their hands of this thing and saying, you know, we can't do a thing about it. It's your problem to deal with. Everybody's looking for somebody else to blame there, which gets us back to this absurd story where, you know, I was telling you earlier in the show where they're trying to say, well, Japan had a secret bomb-making factory, and I guess that one's not getting much traction, because here comes the new one already, and I'm not kidding you. They're trying to put out that, well, Japan had more radioactive material than we thought they had because they were smuggling weapons uranium to Iran. I'm not kidding you. They're putting that out there. General Electric and the nuclear power industry are out to demonize Japan, so that the world will lose all sympathy for them and, more importantly, stop thinking about Fukushima in terms of the dangers of nuclear power. Oh, well, they were making weapons components for Iran. They deserve everything they get. And again, the IAEA was in there checking their facilities like they check every member nation of the that signs the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty to make sure there is no diversion of radioactive materials into weapons programs, and they were doing it in Japan as well. I wish they'd been doing a little more focus on safety inspections instead of running around Iran and Iraq looking for nuclear weapons that didn't exist to justify a new war, but coulda, shoulda, woulda. But, you know, if the IAEA had been focused on safety of nuclear facilities, we might not be in this mess, would we? Alrighty, meanwhile, the United States just announced that they have disabled the Core Flood botnet. Interestingly enough, the indictment identifies the suspects only as John Doe 1, John Doe 2, and just says they're foreign nationals, which tells us they're Israelis. We'll be right back.
Next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming.